once again thankful for your presence this evening, another opportunity where we can study God's Word, broaden our knowledge, increase our maturity in God's Word, and help us be able to face the things that are around us in this world today that are a challenge to our faith, challenge to our children's faith, and to the Lord's church. There are a lot of challenges. But with the Word of God and with our diligence, we can overcome those challenges as well. My lesson this evening is entitled, What Did They Know Before Baptism? In the first century, in New Testament times, what did people believe, know and believe, before they were baptized for the remission of sins? This becomes a question that a lot of people have about just how much or what they should know for a baptism to be a good baptism, so to speak. Today, there are many people that are baptized for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes they're baptized because of peer pressure. Sometimes maybe it's a young person in a family, and the family puts pressure on the child. They want to see their child baptized into Christ. And so the child may submit to that because there is pressure. And that's why they're baptized at that time. Sometimes it's to go along with others who are caught up in an emotionally charged group. And in other words, everybody else is doing it. And so there is this movement to be baptized because others are being baptized. Sometimes it's a condition for getting married. That two people that may fall in love with their hearts, but their heads are not straight in what they're thinking, especially if one is a Christian and one is not, that the importance of being united in things that are more important than anything on this earth. And so one will say, well, I will be baptized if you will marry me. That's kind of blunt the way it's put, but that's some of the ways it's done. And some would say, I won't marry you until you get baptized. And they may be baptized for that reason. So that's a reason that some are. Sometimes it's to impress a family member or family or favor, get in favor with the family. I remember one time there was a man who had been out of duty, and he was finally he had come to want to study the Bible, and he decided to be baptized, and he wanted to borrow $1,000. Well, it became apparent that that's why he was baptized, because he needed to get in good favor with his family, and so he could borrow $1,000. Others to get into a Protestant denominational church after they've declared they are already saved, but to get into that church, they have to be baptized. Others believe that they were baptized for the remission of sins. There are religions that teach baptism for the remission of sins. But some have decided, I need to be baptized for remission of sins because I read a few verses in the Bible that said something about that, and I think I need to do that. And certainly it's good to read it from the Bible, but is there a conviction behind that? Is there an understanding behind it? Or is it just simply reading a few words and say, I'll do those few words? And some, that's about as shallow as it gets for their commitment in baptism. There are those who, when you study with them, and if you're not careful in how you may discuss things with them, you'll wind up giving them and planting those ideas in mind that baptism for the remission of sins, but they had already been baptized many years before, and if you were to come out and ask them what they thought at the time, rather than telling them about what baptism does, they would come out and say, that's why I was baptized. That's right, it was for the remission of sins. And I call that retro-defining their baptism, that they go back and redefine what their baptism was like after they've heard a few things to try to maybe impress those they are studying with. Some believe they're baptized for remission of sins to become a part of a denomination that is nowhere mentioned in the Bible. Members of some churches of Christ have received fellowship. Those who have claimed to be baptized for the remission of sins while believing a denominational concept of what God's church is or Christ's church is. And they may argue in certain ways. Some of them may say, well, if they have to know everything about living the life of a Christian and how the church is organized and functions, no one could be saved. Well, that's dodging the question. What does one need to know to be saved? not what is all this other stuff out here, but what does one need to know? Some might say, oh, all they have to know is that Jesus saves when they are baptized. This ignores what other things are said in the scriptures at the time when someone was being baptized and what they had to know before they were baptized. Another might say, well, there's a difference between gospel and doctrine. We accept one's baptism on the basis of gospel about Jesus and things about Jesus and maybe the steps of salvation, you might say. But as far as the church is concerned, that's not important that a person care about that in the time of their baptism. Well, the Bible doesn't make that distinction between gospel and doctrine. And so the gospel and doctrine, and nor is there any one revelation for a Christian and one revelation for a non-Christian. It's all one revelation, and all are subject to it. And there are degrees of which a person respond to it and become maybe a Christian to follow it. But still, these others are accountable to that same revelation that God has given them. Well, even though they were part of a denomination when they came to us, we have to accept their word that they were baptized for remission of sins. How could they believe they were baptized for remission of sins and still be a part of a denomination that does not even teach that they are baptized for remission of sins? So there are a lot of things that people come up with on this matter of baptism for remission of sins. I recall one time there was a situation in the Lord's church in one location where the brethren were studying with one who came out of a denomination. And in the process of studying and discussing the baptism, they determined that in order to try to keep studying with that person, not run them off or discourage them, let us go ahead and receive them into our number and make them a member here, and then we can continue to teach them about baptism. The person eventually did see the truth, and they were baptized. That person was baptized into Christ, understanding what was being taught to that person. But then she said, and it was a she, incidentally, and you wouldn't know who she was because I don't remember what her name was. She said, I'm ashamed that you let me be a part of you without baptizing me in the right way. You've accepted me in error. She acknowledged it after she learned the truth. But some brethren are afraid to tackle this idea, and they don't want to hurt feelings, and so they'll say, well, your baptism is all right. What does one have to know and believe before being baptized according to the Bible? The New Testament shows that people believed what they heard from gospel preaching before being baptized. Now, isn't that earth-shattering? It's a very simple statement. But sometimes we don't look closely at what's been said to those people before they were baptized in the context of the scriptures where we read of baptisms. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10 verses 13 through 16, he makes it quite clear that wherever this faith comes from, it comes from the Word of God. It's going to have the information in the Word of God, and that's the kind of faith a person needs to please God. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it makes it clear that faith comes from that gospel that was preached by the preacher. You can't have faith unless you have the truth in your heart. But you can't have truth unless you hear the truth. And so when these preachers preached what the people heard, that's what they needed to know in order to be saved. And that's what we want to examine this evening for the time that we have together. Now, the purpose of this lesson then is going to be to learn what people of the first century knew and believed before they were baptized to be saved. I want us to look at some fundamentals about the Bible that we cannot ignore because based on the fundamentals of Bible interpretation, oh, we get the accurate answers from God's Word. First of all, the Bible must be taken as a whole to gain a full understanding of God's truths. It's the reason why the whole Bible was preserved by God. He wanted it to be taken as a whole. We're not talking about New Testament and only or Old Testament only. We're talking about the coming together of the whole that God has provided or has preserved for us today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17, Paul writes Timothy and he makes reference to the Old Testament. He says, Holy Scriptures, he talks about the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.